ですね。何でもいい。These are more or less statements made by Zubanuddin. The statements they seem to be very simple, but the meanings are quite deep. We can only explain to the extent of our understanding.As you progress, then إِنَّ فَضْلَهُ كَانَ عَلَيْكَ كَبِيرًا. Then Allah Pak's fazl also is so great. So they are enjoying so much of the fazl of Allah Ta'ala, the kalam also will be so high. So it is not even right of us to think that we understand like they understand. The understanding is something, and our understanding is something else.One person came from the village and he saw the Jama Masjid in Delhi. For the first time in his life, he ever came out of the village, mud and straw, and he saw a solid, great, huge building. So someone asked him, what's your estimate? What must have costed them to put this thing up? So about 200 rand. So he's talking according to his reasoning, understanding. He didn't see anything bigger than this.So this Zubanuddin, sometimes it'll be like us. In fact, most of the time it'll be us. But our folly will be that we take them like one of us. Dar Navishtan, Sher or Sheer. Sometimes you get words that are written in the same way. But the meaning is aWorld of a difference. Sher, the meaning of sher is a lion, and sheer is sweet. Sweet and lion meanings worlds apart. But in writing, it's the same. But the meaning, totally different. Right? So, why I say this is that sometimes we start with a bit of zikr and all that.And then we say, all right, who is this man, who is this? As though we take these great people as our equals or as something very insignificant. So that to the extent of respect we show to them, that's our fortune. What type of respect, muhabbat we show, the muhabbat and the respect is our fortune. It's not that you worship them, but you appreciate and respect them. People sometimes...They talk without thinking, without understanding. One person says, no, I don't have any ilm. He was being corrected. But you are an alim. How can you do such a thing? How can you behave like this? So he says, he turns around and says, I don't have acknowledgement. Well, Mufti Zabur Rahmatullahi corrected him.It was of some style that if it's a mistake, he will correct it. No, irrespective of who it is thereafter, but he'll correct it. I know it was a great alim. This was in Mufti Bashir Sahib's place when he was in Silver Glen. He later moved on to Stanger, but he was first. It was a great alim.So there's something about attending some program. The program must have been mixed up, some bid'ah and all that, whatever it was. And this alim says, no, we have to go there now. Bet kam aslah. So Musa says that up till now we were taughtthat listen to Allah Ta'ala, make your figure for Allah Ta'ala, and He will take care of you. Straight, He's... Mufti Zabur Rahmatullahi is from India. He's regarded as a senior here, but he didn't hesitate in correcting him. That in my presence. So that's called... وَالْآمِرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَالنَّهُونَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَالْحَافِظُونَ لِحُدُودِ اللَّهِ. Now, the consideration becomes more than the amr. One is the amr of Allah Ta'ala, الْآمِرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, and one is our personal consideration. So our personal consideration becomes greater than executing the command of Allah Ta'ala. So this person is saying, I don't have any ilm. So Musab corrected him. He said, see for example, there are two lines made up. One is of the Ahl al-Ilm, people of ilm, and the other line is of people of Jahl. If someone puts you on the line of Jahl, will that be acceptable to you? So sometimes you'll use this line here, sometimes, just to deceive. دوسروں کو فریب دینے کے لئے. It's great that you don't consider yourself as an alim in the presence of Buzhugan al-Din, etc. But not to deceive. Are you not practicing a sunnah? And then someone corrects you and then you say that ہم تو ہم کیا صاحب علم ہے. But that's used to deceive. But if it is out of respect, that is a different thing. You're talking to someone of respect, then you say, ان کے سامنے ہمارا علم کا کہ کوئی کیا حقیقت ہے. But that's a different thing. So understand these people's statements and don't be deceived. One educated person says to Mufti Sahib Rahmatullahi that Bernard Shaw, and what a beautiful statement he made, what a just and a fair analysis. So he said about Islam, that's the best religion and Muslims are the worst. So what a beautiful analysis he's made. So Sabra explained, corrected him. He says, a bribery doesn't have to be always in material things. It doesn't have to be in things. It can be in words as well. So you can bribe someone, but why should you bribe someone with wealth? So, but the bribery doesn't have to be in wealth all the time. It can come in different forms. Sometimes it's in wealth, and sometimes it is in words. Right? So the first statement is a bribery for you to accept the second statement. He said the Muslims are the best persons. So that's not what he is intending. He is intending to pass on to you the second line. The Muslims are the worst. See? If it were that Islam was the best religion, did he accept Islam? When you've got the choice to accept the best and something that is inferior, obviously you won't take something inferior, you'll take that which is best. And moreover, when it doesn't cost you anything, take this or take this one here. This one here, you can take this tap here or this pipe, which has got a lot of leaks. And this one got no leaks, which one you will take? Obviously, the one that's got no leaks. So why are you taking something inferior? So it is just given to you to deceive you. See, you're Muslim, see, you're the worst type of people. So many times we don't know, we don't understand these statements here. And when we don't understand these statements here, we just take it, we're gullible. We get ourselves into problem and get others into problem as well. So that is why the Quran Sharif says, وَلَوْ رَدُّوهُ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ وَإِلَىٰ أُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْهُمْ لَعَلِمَهُ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَنْبِتُونَهُ مِنْهُمْ. When you come across this type of situations, then you don't take your own personal decision. You refer it to someone that knows it very well. That knows these things very well. He will bring about the right type of solution, right type of answer he'll give you. Now you took something and you don't understand it in context, you're going to be confused and you'll confuse others. Now what was he referring to here? Like I was showing yesterday, someone saw the beast also, and that person was nearly going into a depression. Alhamdulillah, the grace of Allah Ta'ala, this is what came to my mind. I told him, حَسِبْتُ مَن تَدْخُلُ جَنَّةً. This is an indication, inshallah, Allah will accept your blessed du'as. La inna nasrullahi qareeb. Now, he, the way he's understanding it, and what the reality turns out to be, is two totally different things. So, وَلَوْ رَدُّوهُ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ وَإِلَى أُولِي الْأَمْرِ. A lot of times confusion is because we're not referring. And all we're swallowing things that's more than our capacity. Either we're not referring to the right people, or we're taking on things that's more than our capacity. You got a limit to digest, right? So if you're eating within your limit, then your system will take it well. It will digest it well and transform it into blood, and the waste it will exit it, right? But that is if you're eating correctly. But you can only take, for example, say 200 grams of food, and you're taking in 2000 grams, what's going to happen? Your system not going to be able to handle it, it's too heavy, and you're going to throw up, right? Because that was your capacity. So like your stomach has got a limit, your mind also got a limit. Now, we don't want to accept these things, that no, my mind, I don't have a limit in my mind. My mind can take any amount. That's how we are thinking. The stomach, because it's a thing that, it's a perceivable thing, you can perceive. The mind, you can't perceive it straight away. But with analysis, with reasoning, you understand, you know, is this beyond me? I can't manage this. Right? And in every science you'll find that there are some things that is understandable to one person and not understandable to the other person. Like an engineer, he may do his stealing and all that, And you may not understand how he's doing it and why he's doing it and how much he's doing. You may not understand it. Because you have to understand the whole thing to appreciate his whole program, you have to understand it. And if you're going to take it yourself, you're going to make a mistake. So now you just join some wires here and put some steel here. You try and do it, see what happens. So in every field you have that. So same thing will happen in deen. You don't take information. Your mind is not a scrapyard. Remember that. Mind and heart is not a scrapyard, that every scrap is dumped into your mind. You think it's free, let's take it. But then that scrap is, your mind is, you're taking your mind as a scrapyard. Some information is venomous. So the good that's in your mind, that will eat up the good. It's toxic, right? So there may be something good in your mind, in your heart, and this venom will eat up the venom, the toxic, will eat all the goods in your heart. So you haven't done good for yourself, you have destroyed yourself. You're enjoying life, you're a good person, you are a good person, right? Medicine man knows, so many cases you get. The wife will complain, we are enjoying so much of good marital life, right? And then I don't know what happened to this person. He slipped in, and now he's not showing the interest. How do you get to know that he's in porn, interested in someone else? See now, you're enjoying life, you're a straight person, your children were good, but you took on something that was more than what you could manage. The moment you did that, the whole life cracked. The whole life cracked now, the enjoyment is not there, the happiness is not there, the children are feeling disillusioned, insecure. But where you started, that point where you took on something that you could manage. Right? Then your pride will have the better thing. Bugger them, whatever they want to do, they can do. I'll do my own thing. So now the pride will get the better over you. That pride is coming from shaitan. And you dare do that, and you see now what happens afterwards. This is like a normal thing. It's not a once off. It's a normal thing. So that pride takes the better over you. You sit down and think, but I was enjoying life so much. You know, making my namaz, my zikr, my Quran Sharif was going on very well. But then I just took a turn. Wait, where this thing came from? How this thing started off from? So what you take in, see, sometimes it's the company and sometimes what you read. What you come across, the company, and then that color disrupts onto you And the moment that color runs out to you, and you're gone. Now you think, no, I'm secure. Because you're looking at your security, how are you looking at it? My security is my wealth. That is not your security. Your security really is your iman. That wealth is a secondary thing. If the iman is right, everything else will be right. But if the iman is not right, everything else will collapse. Now your iman collapsed, then everything will collapse. The iman is the foundation. Imagine the foundation is collapsed. Will the whole structure remain? So the rest of yourself is just the structure. The structure, it just needs a little bit of time, and then the whole thing will collapse. I know IGUs and we're extending, we're doing some extension, maybe around the 78, 79, they were doing some extension. So in the extensions, we're breaking some internal walls. So breaking, it was Zohar time, so they closed for Zohar, around 79, 80. They closed for Zohar. When they came in, it was good that they closed. Because when they came in, that whole slab went down. I can imagine what could have happened. The building must have been supported by those walls. Right. And they're breaking, just to create some space. Make it like how they would like it. And then next moment this would happen. So you see, something is supported by something, and you can't see it, you don't understand it. That's what we don't want to accept. I can do it, I will do it, I'll do this and I'll do this and this and then see where you end up then. He's talking of Hazrat Shah Abdul Rahim Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. You got Mona Abdul Qadir Sahib Raipuri, and then his sheikh is Mona Abdul Rahim Sahib, and his sheikh is also Abdul Rahim, but he was not an alim, right? Very great saintly person. So his style was different. Every buzurg will have a different style. He'll have one approach, he'll have another approach. Turn will have a different approach. So his approach was like this. A lot of people, Labak blesses them with kashf. Labak shows them things, right? And yesterday I explained that kashf, don't take it as a great achievement. As if you use it the correct way, then it's good. But you must use it. So this Shah Abdul Rahim Sahib Rahmatullah, Allah published him with kashf and some spiritual power. Sometimes he will come out at night and show Abdul Rahim Sahib, say, you see this that's flying across, this pot that is flying across, is a jadu and it's meant to knock so and so person, right? And Allah gives me the strength to ask that pot to take a U-turn and go back to the sender and see. Hazrat Shah Abdul Quddus Sahib Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayh, he is sitting after his tahajjud and engaged in zikr or muraqabah. While he is engaged there, so it's a closed room, and in the closed room someone is coming. So he asked, who are you? No, we are jinnat. So what's your reason to be here? Say, no, so and so sent us to fetch you. Alright. From this point onwards, who are you going to take instructions from? From your instructor or from me? He says, in the whole world, we will have taken instructions from him. But when we look at you, then we we will take instructions from you. It's even against him, we will take instructions from you. Lord, I'm going to fetch him. The person that sent you, go and fetch him. Now they're going to the sender, they're mocking like, you know. But I'm your mocking. What happened? Said, no, see, everything in its place. This man is more senior than you. Nothing, you're a fly in front of him. This man here is much senior. So you're nothing. We'll all get into problem with stuff. We'll just take you safely and bring you back. Just listen to us. See, you know, the employees are taking the boss. Anyway, they fetched their own sender. And they brought him. So, Shadrach Quddus Sahib is saying, what happened? So, no, Ziyarat ka shok hua. I was yearning to see you, therefore I asked him to call you. Is this the way? You got the shok, and then I must be bundled up and brought to you. Mr. Kasur Hugaya, mistake. He stayed there and became a Khalifa Hazrat. So sometimes Allah wants to give Hidayat to an individual, that Hidayat comes in a unique way. In a unique way. Now, you don't get these things, this type of episodes now, because there is no need now. That time there was a need, so Allah made it happen then. But you also understand, when a person becomes Allah Ta'ala, then everything sees. Just give yourself to Allah Ta'ala. See, many times we worry about plans, plots, etc. against Islam and all the right. But Allah Ta'ala rules out, he says, إِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا لَا يَدُرُّكُمْ كَيْدُهُمْ شَيْعًا إِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا لَا يَدُرُّكُمْ كَيْدُهُمْ شَيْعًا. How powerful this ayat is. So you have to just do two things. One is sabr. What is sabr? Sabr is that you hold yourself in the face of some trial, you hold yourself. Right? And you resist only for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. A trial, for example, that person is using aggression. So for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, you held yourself. Right? For example, that gadget is luring you, it's pulling you, and you pull back, you held yourself. Although there's a great pull, you know, read it, look at it, watch it. But now, for the sake of Allah, you know, I'm leaving it out. So you're resisting, you're holding yourself for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. For the sake of Allah means you'll get some reward. It's far better than the stupid things, right? You're not getting into an argument. You saw someone wants to argue and engage. So, إِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا. Nobility and self-respect, you moved away. You didn't backchat, you didn't hurt the person, you didn't bang him down. So that's one thing, sabr. You are firm on that. Whether you're constant, whether in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala, whether in the face of any trial coming from people, etc., or whether it's coming from Allah Ta'ala. Sometimes it's from people, and sometimes it's from Allah Ta'ala. There's a sickness or something, some problem that came up, and you're just holding on. You're not complaining. Not saying, Allah, why this thing came now? When someone died, or someone was shot, or some problem happened, and you're not complaining to Allah Ta'ala. It's a command of Allah Ta'ala, and I'll go as per the command of Allah. That's the meaning of sabr. So you're holding on for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. Not for any worldly convenience. Yeah. Now people have misconstrued the meaning of sabr. They say sabr to majburi ka naam hai. See, a lot of things are misconstrued. From the time Shaitan came up, where he started redefining. See, this redefining started from Shaitan. Right. That time. Khalaqtani min nari wa khalaqtahu min tin. Ana khair. So the redefining came from Shaitan, and then this is a continuation of Shaitan. See? So what are you talking about just now? Yeah, وَإِن تَصْبِرُ وَتَتَّقُوا. So, in the face of any trial, or it's a plot or a plan, right? Then what are you supposed to be doing? You don't need to know the plot. Don't worry about that. That you don't need to know about it. But yes, what you need to do is, what must you do in the face of a plot or an encounter, right? An encounter, what are you supposed to be doing? Did we learn that? We feel so excited. Oh, I understood the plot. I don't think it's an achievement. The Jews, right, they knew about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. كانوا يستفتحون. They used to make dua with the blessings of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam before the advent of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Before the advent of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they used to make dua with the blessings of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ مَا عَرَفُوا كَفَرُوا. So they knew, the whole system of Allah Ta'ala, they knew it. But when Nabi Sallallahu came to the scene, they rejected him. So, to know the plot, that's not an important, that's not a significant thing. We think it's seen, I know what they're doing, I know it. But to know this thing is not an important thing. See, this one knew. But when it came to the fore, they rejected. فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ كَفَرُوا. They rejected. But yes, what we need to do, that we aren't doing. When تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا لَا يَدُرُّكُمْ كَيْدُمْ شِيَا. Their plotting, their conspiracies will not harm you in the least. لَا يَدُرُّكُمْ كَيْدُمْ شِيَا. It won't harm you. So one is that you have to adopt sabr. The second thing Allah Pak is asking, what you must adopt, right? لَا يَدُرُّكُمْ is you adopt taqwa. Taqwa is easily understood like this, that it's something that is not clear, then you abstain. Something that is not clear about it, then just abstain. If someone is talking and you don't know if it's ghibat or whatever, you came up. It's some type of a sale and you don't know whether it's interest or it's gambling or it's something that is not too clear, then you came out of it. Right? It's company, and that company you're not clear about. You know, something seems to be not right. Something doesn't seem to be right, right? The company, and that company is something is not, it's ambiguous. What must you do? Then stay out. You're not saying that you people are wrong and you are fasiks and fajirs, but some things are not adding up. You know, from the knowledge that you have, from the understanding of deen you have, something doesn't seem to be right. So taqwa will require that you keep away. So anything that is not clear, doubtful, you stay away. It's a brain now, showing how you can extend the same concept, you can extend it. It's a brain, but it's coming in after Isha. And you know they're going to start it after Isha, maybe they'll start off at about 10 o'clock, and they'll end about 1 or 2 in the morning, right? Now, you know, everything will get affected. Maybe you miss out your Fajr namaz, or your Quran Sharif recitation that was supposed to be taking place at night, that's going to miss out. Or that company there, they don't have a deeni concern. They're not committed to deen. When they're not committed to deen, they're going to do things, they're going to talk about things, someone will play some music, and you can't tell them, right? So these are the two things that Allah is saying, right? Tasbiru wa tattaqu. You're going to observe sabr and you're going to guard yourself. Tattaqu, you're going to guard yourself. In other words, anything that is not clear, you will guard yourself, keep yourself clear. Right. So, in tasbiru wa tattaqu, Allah then gives you the assurance, la yadurrukum kaydum shay'a. Their plottings will not harm you in the least. So, did we learn that sabr? These people are doing this. Whatever he's doing, or his grandfather is doing, whoever is doing. But did you learn your sabak? Learn your sabak. Instead of you learning his part, then learn your part. See? Don't learn your part, you won't get into trouble. Mustafa went to one jalsa, you know, Bukhari Sharif jalsa. So, there's about 20 students that's graduating, right? So, everybody is for the turn to recite. So there will be the last 20 hadiths, and each student will recite. He'll read one, the next person will read, and the third he'll read, and so forth and so on. So that's how it was planned, you see. So when he heard the recitation, they're reading so well that even in Dharam Dhyoba they're not reading so well. Hey. So he said, one thing came to my mind, you know. What I did now, after he's going to complete the hadith, then it is his turn, right, to read the next one. So I sent him away, but get me some water. So obviously now after him, he has to read the second hadith. Now it came to his turn, it's like that, the Ramzan Taraweeh, Ramzan Hafiz, you know. He had to learn the second quarter now. He doesn't know, he learned third quarter. You put him in the spot, he can't read it. See, you couldn't read it. So I said, later on I regret why I did this. I should have done this, I should have embarrassed him. But then, mine was too fast. You couldn't deceive him. They say about Umar, la yakhda'u wa la yukhda'u. He won't deceive and he's not deceived. He doesn't deceive, and when the Roman emperor, when he heard, he doesn't deceive, nor is he deceived. So his analysis was, that he doesn't deceive, that means he's a very godly person. He's an excellent person, because he doesn't deceive. But the emperor reading it. See, they talk in small words. Those days, the rulers and all that, they're very super intelligent. So they know from one, two words they make out what they're talking about. Now you give the whole book to that person, he doesn't understand. So in one line, he understood what Umar radiyallahu anhu was. That he doesn't deceive, that means he's a godly person. Because he's careful, he's cautious of Allah Ta'ala. That he may be deceived, but Allah Ta'ala knows, I can't deceive Allah Ta'ala. So therefore, his consciousness and awareness of Allah Ta'ala is great. And he is not deceived, that means people can't deceive him. So Allah Ta'ala is straight, the people is straight. So such a person, nobody can, the entire world can gang up, they can't do anything. So see, it's pointless me fighting this man here, because he got divine strength, and people can't have him. So he's just going to prevail. So that's what I'm saying. Did we take out the time to learn our part? What are we supposed to be doing? The world's going to, they've got some systems in the world, what's going to happen, going to happen. Allah Pak knows. You think now, if you died now, right? And Allah Pak going to ask you, alright, all what is happening, did you learn your part? He said, no, they were doing this, by whatever they were doing, but did you learn your part? You know, in any equation you come right, put yourself before death. See, it came, come now. The death just came now, right? And when you put yourself against death, you'll get the right answer. And if you don't put yourself against death, you'll go in a circle. Keep evil. He did this, that person did this, why did I have to do this, and what was the whole plan about? So you'll put yourself into a circle, you'll get into trouble. But leave that, ask yourself, what Allah said. So see that, see how clear this verse is. In tasbiru wa tattaku la yadurrukum kaiduhum shay'a. They are planning, plotting, won't harm you. You do your work. Abu Nakamka. So we are talking of Mawlana Abdul Rahim Sahib. His Sheikh passed away. Mawlana Abdul Rahim Sahib, Sheikh was Abdul Rahim also, passed away. And in the meanwhile, Mawlana Abdul Rahim had a lot of murids, hundreds of murids. He felt, no, I didn't complete this. That marifat of Allah Ta'ala, and to the level that I'm supposed to be going, I haven't yet achieved. I haven't gone. Now I need to explore and to go further. Made istikhara, etc., whatever he needed to do, and he came up to Gango. So as he came up to Gango, so Al-Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah saw him. He said, "Arey, tum to bade peer ho, tumhe Beat ki kya zarurat hai? Already a big peer, got hundreds of followers you got. What's the need?" So his answer was, if this is a stumbling block, from now I'm going to discontinue this altogether. And he meant it. He told all his murids after that, right? Now you people, you look for something else, because I don't want this relationship any longer. So they asked him, what difference you found in the first year, and as you crossed over to Hazrat Muawiyah bin Ghuwaysah rahmatullah alayh, then what difference you found? You had one sheikh first, then that sheikh passed away, and you moved on to Hazrat Muawiyah bin Ghuwaysah rahmatullah alayh. So what was the difference? So he says, دوسرے شیخ کے ہاں میں نے حب جا کے سر کو قلم پایا. When I crossed over to the second sheikh, I found that name and fame, all that, that name and fame, the head of the name was chopped off. The head of the name was chopped off. What he meant by that was that in our path, it's only fana. But that fana takes you time to understand. Because, you know, one time, one shot, I'll get it. Some people think that one shot, I'll get it. Your understanding may be something, but for you to come to terms with it is a different thing. You understood all right, but have you come to terms with it? So for some reason, that Mawlana Ganguly Sahib rahmatullahi had to call Mawlana Abdul Rahim Sahib. Now, he wanted to come to the Mawlana Ganguly Sahib rahmatullahi quickly. Ajiltu ilayka. Ma'ajiltu ilayka. Itarda. To please the Shaykh. Now, I was thinking, hey, this is such a big river across. By the time I'm going to get a ferry, then I go across, it's going to take a lot of time. Because now, at this moment, you're not getting any ferries to ferry me across. So let me do something else. So he got his khadim and he got his musalla. So he told his khadim, see, what's going to happen now, you don't leak it to anybody, please, for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. Don't leak it to anybody. He sat on the musalla and the khadim sat and they sailed across right to the other side. Now they came here. For us it's such a big karamat, right? They came across on the other end. And as they come to the Mawlana Ganguly Sahib, he says, "Keh do in jadugaron ko ke yahan unke liye koi jagah nahi hai." This, in a simple, brute language, the translation tells the witches, "There's no place here for you." Tells the witches, "There's no place for you." See, all that. Now, what was considered to be an achievement, I can sail through. That was considered to be nothing, but leave all that, just come for Allah Ta'ala. Leave all these things, all these sideshows, just leave it out. So, our elders, they're not worried about these sideshows. It was not in their mind. There was something else. They were looking for something else. And that's what I say, you know, understand mizaj shanasi, what they want. As Ganguly Sahib rahmatullahi, he's planning to go to a nikah, right? So on the return, so he came across Hadith Sahib. He heard about Hadith Sahib and said, "All right, I'm going to meet him, take his duas, and then I'll return." So Hadith Sahib rahmatullahi requested him to stay over. A senior great buzurg, and he asked him to stay over. Kya jaldi hai, chal jao, kal chale jana. So now he stayed over. Now one day he wants to stay, and the other day Hari Sahib is asking him to stay. And when he's thinking of moving, Hari Sahib rahmatullahi is saying, "Jaldi ki kya zarurat hai?" And the next day there's an urge within him to stay. So he didn't bring his clothes, nothing, and he stayed good for 40 days. Right. So anyway, in that period, he asked Hadi Sahib rahmatullahi to accept him for bayat. سے میرے سے یہ سب مشقت برداشت نہیں ہو سکتی. آل دس تصوف اینڈ آل دس تھنگز آئی کین مینج دس تھنگز ٹو مچ فور می. داری صاحب سے اس کی کیا ضرورت ہے؟ دس نو پرابلم, وی ڈونٹ آسک, وی ناٹ آسکنگ شروع تھی. But then they ask the Mu'adhin, what happened after that? So that's the word. Phir hum mar mite. See that? Then we just gave ourselves. Then night and day we just gave ourselves. So this tasawwuf is the essence. See, when you say essence, like the sweetness in honey, right? Without the sweetness, is there anything in the honey? But this is coming from this what statement I'm saying now, from the Shah Waliullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is the tasawwuf, right, is the essence, is the ruh of the Quran and the Hadith. It's a big statement, that it's not a small statement. That. What it is the essence. So if you got the body and you haven't got this, then now you understand how you understand it. See the. Let me give you a little bit of a background so you understand this, you'll appreciate this thing. One Muslim, this story, Time Sahib has mentioned it, Alimiya Sahib has mentioned it, and other ulas, very, very reputable persons have explained the story. So, this was the time of the English, and one Muslim here, he was good to an English officer. Right? So that English officer is telling the Muslim, if you ever come over to London, then let me know. I will take you around. I can be at your service. Because of the good times that you gave me here, then I need to repay this. So the Muslim had to travel over to London and he contacted that person. So he says, you know, so what, can I be of any service to you? He says, you know, it's Ramadan. And he's talking about late 1800s. Late 1800s, beginning of 1900s, somewhere there. So he says, I'm here now, but there's absolutely no atmosphere of Islam. Nobody fasting, no Taraweeh, no Namaz, no Quran Sharif. Nothing, absolutely. You know, in a masjid you get some iftar, you get an atmosphere, Quran Sharif is being recited, all that. There's no atmosphere here. So, all right, don't worry. Tomorrow, I'll take you to one place. So they drove wherever, brought him to one place. Now he sees, hey, this is better than India. Hey, whole day is somebody's Quran Sharif, Taraweeh, Namaz, fasting, and they're learning kitabs, Mishkat, and what, everything is happening. So an atmosphere like he never see or even dream of, he saw an atmosphere there in London. Right? Somewhere now in a discreet, in a very remote place, you can't even work out. They have to go in disguise, they have to cover themselves and go into that place. Right? Everything finished now. So as he finished his tour, so he went to thank that person that took him across, you know, hey, what a Ramadan, I never had this in my life. So that guide, that English guide is telling him, that friend of his telling him, but not a single person was a Muslim there. It was just a play. Because these people, you know, the word that came in my mind, see they specialize, right? You know, they say specialized in dentistry, they specialized in eyes, whatever, they specialize, right? So they specialize in hypocrisy. They specialize. You listen to them. They specialize in hypocrisy. Not democracy, hypocrisy. So all of them were hypocrites. They have nothing to do with Islam. But now, these people, now after we have trained them up, we have to post them. Someone to some Arab land, someone's land, that one, whatever. We have to post them. They are our workers, our people, working in your areas, that will read Quran better than your people. That will carry themselves so perfect that you can't even distinguish. But they are our workers, see, working in your lands. So now, I'm relating the story now. I say, he's doing everything, the body work is so well. But is there any soul in this? Is there any spirit in it? The body work is so beautiful, but is there any spirit in it? Absolutely no spirit. See? So that's what Shaolin Rasab is saying. That without the soul, then this is just a body work. It's a corpse. Corpse. Jasadin bila ruhin. That means what type of effort is required to get this thing. Now, this thing here doesn't come up without that fana yet. Fana means that you give up your thinking, your values, your thinking, you give it up. Your affinity with your senior becomes so much, your taluk, your relationship. You first have an affinity, then that affinity grows to muhabbat. When it comes to muhabbat, but from the time of affinity, you leave your values, your thinking, right, your sifat, etc., you leave it. So that's an attachment. And then when it grows to, it escalates, it progresses to muhabbat, right? Then from muhabbat, then it comes to ishq. Then it's an advanced, ishq is like an advanced level of muhabbat. One is like an ordinary liking, right? And one is a loving. So it's a different thing, right? From one level to the other level, it's a different thing. Like how you get these youngsters, you know, just think of an example that you can relate to, right? This youngsters you get, they're following soccer, right? So first, it's just a pastime. So they are just viewing soccer, right? And after that, it becomes a culture. Then it becomes a religion. Then they got their fans. You know, my man. They're taking a movers or something, right? He's my man. If that person is scoring, then he's jumping. You may have never seen that movers. But his life, his day and night is just about that person. He's given himself so much. If that person is wearing that type of a jersey, he'll wear that type of a jersey. If that person is coughing, he'll also cough like that. No, I've seen this year, I've seen it. I've seen youngsters, I've seen it. He's got a certain style of walking, he'll walk like that. I know, in Myasam, I saw one person. It was a limp in his walk, you know. Something, he's a normal person, but why is he limping like that? He was imitating some English. Because that person was limping, so he found it a kamal to limp like that person is. See that muhabbat grows. When that muhabbat grows, then the color of the person that you love begins to rub onto you. Understand? His colors. In other words, his values, his ways, his thinking, his mannerisms, they all begin to rub onto you. So now you have to delete yourself. That's the meaning of fana, what you delete yourself. When you delete yourself, then those colors rub. Otherwise, me against you, me against you. So it's going to be a continuous struggle. You saying this, I say this. You saying this, I'm saying this. So you're not going to progress until and unless you do that fana. That's why they say that first qadam is also fana, and the last also is fana. It's a different type of fana yet then. And the first is a big different type of fanayat, and at the end is a different type of fanayat. Right. So many stories now, which story to think about, which one to say first. And then Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, I think it was 1980 that he went to London. 79 or 80. It was 82 he passed away. So many times he would refer to as Mufti Sahab Rahmatullah Ali, though Mufti Sahab was his murid, Khalifa, but he would refer to him. So he asked Mufti Sahab Rahmatullah Ali, "Kya hua? What happened?" Now, see this, we're talking about Mizaj Shanasi, to understand temperament. Now, at that time, Mufti Sahab knew what answer to give. So Mustafa said, "Mir batao, must I tell you? Kahi rahaun, I'm telling you, right? What happened?" Adin again Mustafa asked, "Mir batao, must I show? Kahi to rahaun, I'm telling you. Unko pusho jisne aapko bheja. Ask him who sent you to London." The Shaykh, you know, he wept with joy and happiness. He cried. He said, "Haan, meri naql o harkat baghair Nabi Sam ke ishaare ke nahi hota nahi. Without Nabi Sam's command, I don't move. My moving and my settling at any place is because of his command, his instruction that I come across and I go at another place is because of his command. It's not of my own." People, you know, so the Calcutta people wanted the Sheikh to come there for Ramadan. And the Sheikh had excused himself. So they said, "But you can go to Makkah and all that, and Medina, why can't you come to us?" So the Sheikh would say, "You can't compare Calcutta to the Haramain. How can you make this comparison?" So, "Lekin ab to main to London bhi ho gaya, ab main kya kahun unko? I went to London, what would I tell them now? Now they have to spill the beans, you see. They have to spill. They don't show these things here. But now, on one side, they have to respect a Muslim's feeling. Then you have to say, but this is what's going on. That is Nabi Sam's command that I come here. That's why, as per his command, I'm here. I'm not here of my own. Don't you think now I just came to see now what is, what's that big shopping? Harrods. You think of Harrods. Someone will think, no, you have to go there because that London Bridge is falling down. Before it falls, you'll be there just to erect it properly. Keep it up, prop it up. Now, when they go there, they turn things around. Things are just turned around. Madrasa are built, khanqahs are built. A lot of things happen. It's just one visit. And as though now they got the charge, what? You got that good now, and you need someone to set it right. As though he's got the light. You can't set it right. Whatever you can't set it. So he has to set it right. And then you see your jamaats are flowing, the things are flowing, that thing is flowing. Everything is just running. So someone, when the Shaykh was there, someone saw Isa alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Dawud alayhi salam, and Hazrat Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They're all in their tents, and they're coming out, sitting together, and returning. So they asked Mustafa for the interpretation. So yeah, these Anbiya are all concerned as to that their following must follow Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. How must we work it out? They're wanting all the people to follow Hazrat Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but how to work it out? So that's the concern. See? Someone saw that Hazrat Shaykh Ramatullah has passed away, and they're looking for a place to bury him. He's passed away. Intiqal kar gaye, right? Or they're looking for a place to bury him. So now they can't go and see the Shaykh straight. "I saw you passing away." That was someone come and tell me, "No, I saw you passing away." You know, someone who said the Shaykh all these things here. Ask someone else. Right. So someone will give the answer. Said, "Intiqal means that the Shaykh has come from Medina. He's moved on to London. That's called intiqal. Literally, it's called intiqal. Ye muntaqil huwa yahan se wahan tak." Right. So he's moved on. That's called passed away. Right. He's passed on from Medina to London. And you're looking for a place to bury him. You know, you're calling here to London, but you don't have people that are suitable to sit in his majlis that can take that faida. See. the voltage is so high, you know, our language, the voltage is so high, right? You know, like this, that thing coming from the mains and mains, right? How the voltage will be? How high? And you are a small little globe, they'll bust the thing. But you're calling a man with such a high voltage, and you don't have the right person to sit by him. So that's what you're worried about. You brought him here now, you don't have the suitable candidates to sit by him. Allah Bhaktofi.